Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to this year. Tonight we hope to tackle a complex and extremely sensitive topic related to pumping milk and saving the milk on Shabbos. Women are struggling in general with the Shaila and specifically with a shortage of formula. So let's see what we can do. Parshas Bahalozcha deals with a nation that complains a lot. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu do, right? He says to Hashem, what am I, their mother, to nurse them, right? Nursing is in the Parsha. And he essentially gives up. In contrast, when Klal Yisrael sinned with the Chetah Egel, Moshe is willing to fight for Klal Yisrael. He's willing to say, Hashem, if you don't save them, you erase me from your book. I'm going down with the ship. And Rav Soloveitchik famously asked, why is Moshe so strong in Parshas Kisisa by the Chedah Egel, yet when it comes to the sins in this week's Parsha, where Klal Yisrael complain and complain, Moshe says, what is this? And he's willing to resign. And in a beautiful essay, Rav Soloveitchik explains that what Moshe needed to learn was that he was not just the educator regarding Halacha. Yes, it's true, Moshe can handle Hilchas Avodah Zarah. The struggling with Avodah Zarah, with Chedah Egel, Moshe can handle that. But the job of a rabbi is also to be the nursing mother, so to speak. The rabbi who holds this congregant's hands, right? Not only the posek of Rabbi Yudin, but the sensitivity of Rabbi Yudin. I once spoke when I became a rabbi, when my Chag HaSmicha turn came around, I was asked to speak in my hometown of Jamaica States, Queens, and I took the liberty to speak about my own rabbi, Rabbi Shlomo Hochberg. He was awkwardly sitting right there in front of me, and I just spoke for 20 minutes about how everything I had was from him. And I told a story about how Rabbi Hochberg represented both of these figures in my life. He was the Rav, but he was also my Rebbe. He was the Rebbe in the Hasidic sense, but also the Rabbi in the Litvish sense. What was the story that highlighted his ability to wear both hats? He was under my chuppah, and I was wearing a kittel, and I did not have any pockets. I was a little bit emotional, and I was just tearing, and I needed to blow my nose. So I think I asked him, do you have any tissues? Maybe I had my own tissues, and I blew my nose. And I had nowhere to put my dirty tissues. So what did the great Rabbi Shlomo Hochberg do? He put out his hands under my chuppah to take my dirty, snotty tissues under my own chuppah. And my mother intervened. And she said, no, Rabbi, that's my job. And she took the tissues instead. But Rabbi Hochberg was willing to be my quote-unquote mother. And I spoke about that, meaning he understood, and he was a Talmud, he is a Talmud of Soloveitchik. And I first learned that, number one, because of the sefer he gave me at my bar mitzvah. And number two, Rabbi Julius once gave this drush at Shalom Shabbos in Jamaica States. So this is like a good Rabbi Soloveitchik Parshas Bahalosov word to know, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, what am I, their nursing mother? And yes, every rabbi needs to be sensitive like a nursing mother to his kehila. But let's be sensitive to nursing mothers themselves this year. And we're going to preface with the following. Let's open up a classic Hilchos Shabbos Sefer. The most classic Hilchos Shabbos Sefer. Rabbi Yetz 39 Melachos, Volume 2, page 356. Nursing an infant on Shabbos is permissible only if the child feeds directly from the mother. However, pumping the milk into a bottle or container to save for later is mefarik, midoraisa. Right? That means it's a big, big, big no-no. Okay, now let's try to figure this out. He does give a heter if the child is ill and cannot nurse directly from the mother. The milk may be saved in small increments, like a teaspoonful at a time, and put it into a container for the baby. So a big head to all of a sudden, where it comes out. But then he writes like this. But again, that's only in a child, if the child is ill and cannot nurse directly from the mother. Then he writes, a nursing mother who is experiencing pain due to fullness may express or pump the excess milk for relief. However, the milk must go directly to waste. It should not be collected in a cup, etc. A practical solution is to pour some liquid soap into the cup beforehand. This is the mainstream minhag of the Sifrei Halacha. Women are instructed that if you struggle with nursing, So you have to let out milk on Shabbos because you're in pain. No problem. Express it into a sink or express it with a pump into some, you know, cup or whatever. You have a pump on a timer and just pour some soap or some whatever into the cup in advance. And there where the soap goes directly to waste. I'm sorry, the milk goes directly to the waste. No problem. Okay, that's one safe. Similarly, no question, Rav Rimon, a hero on many levels. Page 517 on Chelek Bet of his Hilchot Shabbat series, he writes, "Ein l'shov chalav l'kli." You cannot pump milk from a woman right into a vessel if the child will drink from it later. No. You have to say, "Ela imke medubar betino katan she'eno misugal linok ve'eno ochel tachlif echalav." The only heter is if a child is not taking formula. And what did he say earlier? A woman who is in pain, she needs to express milk for her own comfort. Well, she can express her pain only le'ibud, to put it into a sink, or to put it into a kli that has a pogame like soap. Okay, so this is the mainstream tone of the Sifrei Halacha. And you open up any equivalent sefer, these are all amazing svarim. I only have wonderful things to say about all these svarim. But basically, what women are being told is as follows. If you know how to nurse your child and your child latches onto your body, wonderful. If Rahman al-Atslan is an emergency and you need to pump milk to save your kid's life, there's a no-brainer. You could pump, save the milk, fine. But what about this large in-between category where many women struggle with nursing, where they can't latch or there's some issue, and they usually only pump milk Sunday through Friday? Is there any way to save the milk? Because what do you have to tell women right now? No. There's formula. There's no danger. Just throw out the milk. Now, on a halachic level, it sounds fine. What's the big deal? You throw out the milk. You feed the baby formula, whatever milk you may have pumped before Shabbos that's in the fridge. Not a problem. But what's the problem? What's the problem there? What do you think the problem with that is?
Her milk is healthier.
Yeah, so women have a lot of trouble bringing themselves to throw out what is classically called the liquid gold. Liquid gold. That's what we refer to as this natural God gift of breast milk. It's worth gold. And how many women would hire a wet nurse over the centuries? Right? Meaning, we're talking about a very wonderful gift from the Ribono Shel Olam, with all the antibodies and all the specific natural ingredients catered to that baby from that baby's mother that cannot be replaced in formula, even though formula is as healthy as it needs to be, but it's not natural. It's not as good as the real deal. But there's no sakana. There's no problem. So do we tell the woman you have to throw her milk out? Seemingly, yeah. And that is the tone going into this year. The issue is the following. There are many women who really struggle with this psak, and we want to kind of figure out if there's room to help them. And number two, there is a formula shortage, which leads, you know, women who are already struggling to be more uneasy about the topic. So let's learn the classical Makoros with the time we have remaining, and we'll try to see what we have. And there is a range of poskim in the Wali based Medrash, and we'll try to see what we can do. So let's learn the sugya from Shas, Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Sadi Hamad Aleph, Tana Rabbanan, Hacholev. Well, says Rabbi Eliezer, Shagug Shabbos Chayev Chatas. To express milk on Shabbos or to take it out of a cow would be in Issa Midoraisa. The Chachamim Omrim, Echadze Eino Ela Mishim Shavus, would be in Issa Midorabbanan. The Rambam paskins that someone who takes milk out on Shabbos, again, whether it be from a human or from a cow, v'acholei v'tocha ochel, ohayonek bepiv pater, so in the same way that we know that you can squeeze fruit juice out of a fruit, onto food, or suck directly out of the fruit itself, right? So that wouldn't be an issur midoraisa. But what would be an issur midoraisa, says the Rambam, is v'eino chayav ad sheyachlov v'tocha Hakli. So to express milk out of a woman's body or to milk a cow on Shabbos into a kli, like a bucket, a cup, Rambam seemingly says very clearly it's interesting midoraisa. Why? What we call mafarik, right? Dush, told of dush, to extract something from its original kernel is disha, dush, and mafarik, right? To extract juices out of a fruit is mafarik. Milk, according to the Rambam, according to Tosfos, unlike some other Rishonim, and this is how we paskin, is mefarik, a told of subset of the melacha known as dush. Shulchan Aruch paskins, shin chav ches lamedalit, lo takel isha chalav midadeh leto hakos, a woman may not express her milk into a cup, or to chakdera, or into a pot, v'tinek es bana, and then subsequently feed the baby from that bowl or pot. What is permissible? Mutar li'isha lekalech me'achalav, kidei sheyoches etino kadad v'yenik. A woman is allowed to let a little bit of milk out to excite the baby. So if latching is not working, so if a woman would let a little milk out onto her body, and that would excite the baby to then latch, that would be permissible. Okay. But what just happened in the Shulchan Aruch is that he said a woman is not allowed to let the milk out again into the bowl. Says the Mishabura, like the Rambam, Mishum Mefarik. Okay, so again, on the books, Usher because of Mefarik. Mefarik is a subset of Dush, one of the 39 Malachas of Shabbos. The Prima Gadim writes explicitly, Malach Lov Lika'ara Hava Malacha Din Torah. This is an Isser Midoraisa. Mefarik Mamish. Does not get more explicit than that. It is a violation of the subset of dush. You can't do this on Shabbos. In the same way you can't light a fire, same way you can't cook, you can't do any of the other 39 melachos, you can't let milk out of your body into a cup on Shabbos. The Bi'ur Halacha, the Chavetz Chaim, quotes the Prima Gadim that says, "Delachlo me'adam l'toch kli yeshbur isur mido araisa mishum mefarek." So therefore, you cannot do it for a chola she'ein bo sakana imlo ayadei eino nachri. So how do you knock it down from an Issur Midoraisa to an Issur Midorabanan? That's going to have to be the first avenue to help the sugya. So the first avenue is, well, what about a non-Jew? What about a non-Jew? So buy cows on farms in Israel. That's what Rav Kook originally wrote. You know, you rewind, you know, close to 100 years ago already. So that's what was done on these Israeli farms, where you had systems to save the money. Imagine having to throw out all the milk from a cow that needed to come out of the cow on Saturdays. Big loss of money, right? That, or you imagine all that milk, what could be done with all that milk in a land, in an economy, in a country. To throw out milk is a pretty big deal. So non-Jews, now obviously that's not really practical for humans. That might work for the, you know, milking of the cows. You know, obviously that's not realistic for people. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch deals with a case with a woman who's in pain. And what happens if she's in pain? Imo, again, talking about a case. V'chein hi ba'atzmei chola lehotzi biyada ha'chalaf ha'metzayar ota. How can you let milk out if you're in pain? Right? If you're not in danger, how can you violate an Issur Midoraisa? Says the Mishabura, where's the milk going? It's going onto the ground. Since it's going onto the ground, that's not a malacha shetricha legufa, right? You don't need the milk. You're wasting the milk. And since you're wasting the milk, it's a malacha midurabanan. It's also for pain. So that's fine. So any woman who's in pain can let her milk out. But where does it need to go? Onto the ground, or the equivalent of the ground. And that's where all these poskim in the Sifrei Halacha stop the sugya. They say, listen, that's what Mishabur says. If you're in pain, okay, we don't want you to be in pain. But you can't save the milk. But what about saving the milk? Is there a way out? Is there a way out? So we discussed this year, you know, kind of off the record last time. And we spoke about one Adam Gadol who visited Fairlawn, the great Rabbi Yaakov Wiener, who runs the Institute for Medicine and Science. I forget the name of his organization, but he's a medical ethics genius. And he had a lot of shemush with the great Rav Yashuv. And he said, there's a way out. There's a way out. Really, Rabbi Wiener? So he told me in Rabbi Yudin's house, there's a way out. But by the way, I want you to know, before we get to him, just to realize the severity of this. There's a Gemara Maseches Yevamos that says that a baby is always considered in Sakana regarding milk, right? You know, we're soft in America, right? Don't we always want to say, come on, give the baby its milk? And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, in the Shud Har Tzvi, or Chaim Aleph Simen Reish Aleph, says very simply, now whatever the Gemara in Yevamos meant to say, that Stam Tinok Mesukan Eitzel Chalav, that a baby needs its milk, or else it's in danger, that only means in a case where the baby needs the milk, or else it's going to die. What do we have nowadays? Formula. So says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, if the baby is hydrated, safe, and frankly, doesn't need any more milk right now, it's full, you're not allowed to nurse on Shabbos. You're not allowed to pump on Shabbos. You're not. And he deals with a woman who couldn't, the baby couldn't take all of the mother's milk at once, meaning the baby fell asleep in the middle of the feeding. And the mother asked, can I at least save the rest of my milk and feed the baby later? And if she says, Zach Frank says basically, no. The baby, achal kidei chiyuso, v'shuv ein sarkana. There's no sarkana here. So this is where the sugya really ended in contemporary poskim. If the baby is not in danger, you can't save the milk. The Shevet Alevi, and the Shut Shevet Alevi, Chelik Zayin, Tzadi Tes, he says, okay, now you want to maybe argue that when a woman doesn't save the milk, it's kla achar yad, it's a shinoi, it's a weird way of pumping, of expressing the milk. But pumping nowadays, would you call that weird? No. Why? Because the bizman is there, the regular ma'od, the isha mitkalechet ayde masheva l'torah kos. Everyone pumps nowadays. So therefore what? It's no longer considered a shinoi. So whereas maybe one could have argued 200 years ago that the normal way to feed a baby is directly from the body into the mouth of the baby, and pumping would be weird, could it be kala achayad? Nowadays it's not kala achayad. So it's the nisim midaraisa to pump on Shabbos, period. Ad kan, what we dealt with a little bit ago off the record, and I added some more makoros. So this is the problem. And all the svarim end here. If you're in pain, use soap. Rabbi Yaakov Wiener, he was the first one. I pushed him a lot, by the way. So the one-on-one Rabbi Yaakov in Rabbi Yudin's dining room after he presented his shiur, and it was me and him alone, and I said, I need a hetzer. So he said, well, we have, you know, pumping bras. What does a pumping bra do? It sets everything up for the woman. He says, well, let's say if you put the pump on a timer. So imagine you put the pump on a timer. Okay. Timer is going to go off in 5 minutes. Woman knows, okay, my timer's going off in 5 minutes. And she sets herself up with this pumping bra. And the pump, she attaches it to her body. What's happening, Rhett? Nothing's happening right now. Why not? Because the machine's not going. She's going to go off in 2 minutes now. She has to wait there a little bit awkwardly. No, but she's got this pumping bra. She could put her hands behind her back because the bra keeps everything in place. Timer goes off. The motion begins. Her body is now pumping milk. What would you say about that? Is that us, sir, or not? Adam, this is exactly what I wanted to say. This is not such a crazy heter. Rabbi Yaakov Wiener said, well, the pumping bra could help. Why? You know, every farmer in Israel has basically been relying on this heter for the past, I don't know, 30 years to save the milk that comes out of cows. They hook the cows up to a machine before the machine is operating. It's on a timer. The machine will operate shortly. The machine starts to operate. The milk can be saved on Shabbos. Who says the milk can be saved on Shabbos? None other than the Chazon Ish. Before you, I have the holy words of the Chazon Ish. And again, he happens to be dealing with a case of cooking food on an oven where the oven's on a timer. He says you can't do that on Shabbos for cooking reasons. But the timer issue, he wants to argue, is not the problem. It's just the cooking. And in that context, he writes, "Vinir lefize de mutar." What does the word mutar mean? Mutter. The word mutar and mutter mean the same thing. Lahalbish hatzinor al dadeh hapara shesof tenuas achashma lavo aide p'tichat hasha'on. Again, he gives the heter for milking the cows on Shabbos. I thought this was gold for what we call the golden liquid, liquid gold. And I brought this very chazanish, photocopied it, as you see in my hand, to the great Rav Hirshel Shecht. And I went on a field trip. I made a meeting with him, made a meeting with other Rosh Yeshiva, and I said, we have got to figure out how to apply this chazanish to humans, because it's not being done. And the same Rav Rimon, on the same page, as a picture of my wine shelf, can you say to the whole class, what do you see a picture of on the top of this page?
It's a cow.
All the Sifri Halacha, they all know this Chazanish, and they all quote this Chazanish when it comes to cows. And in the next section of their Svarm, when they write about humans, no such heter. Now, I could understand that. Why? Because pumping bras may be our newer invention. We don't obviously assume that a woman, you know, can be told the same thing with the same, you know, obviously the way you deal with humans and animals goes without saying is different. And the cow is not a chayav in a Shabbos, and a woman is.
Right. Good.
So I'm not, I'm not surprised that the Svarim have not made this jump, but I wanted to make this jump. This is what I wanted to do. If Jachter came out with a Sefer, The Power of Shabbos, he deals extensively, number one, with milking cows on Shabbos. Of course, this is Chazanish. And every time I think I like can teach Rabbi Jachter something, I tell him the Chazanish. He's like, oh yeah, I have a whole chapter in my new Sefer about this. And I started saying, well, usually I'm 30 years behind you, but at least like I'm like talking about, and then I realized mid-sentence, I'm like, you probably wrote this up 30 years ago. And he's like, yep. I have a way of being humbled, which is a good thing by the Gedolim. So either way, he said, Rav Shecht is not going to give you any time on this because Rav Soloveitchik understood Grumma differently than everybody else. There it is, Adam. Very good. The same Chazanish, a paragraph earlier, says, whoa, Grumma. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Grumma. Are you allowed to murder? No. One of the Ten Commandments. What if you don't really murder the guy? You kind of fake murder the guy. Peter, what do you say? Let's say I tie someone up, and he happens to die of hunger a few days later. Did I murder him? Of course not. So, you know, Rava disagrees with you. Rava says, you didn't really kill the guy, right? Right? This is a classic example of Grumma. Rava says, let's say you tie him up. Now, here's the problem. If you tied him up in the sun, that's called murder, because you tied him up in a situation where he was clearly already in pain. You know, the process of the sun was already beating on his head, and you were putting him in a life-threatening situation. So if you tie him up in the intense heat or in the intense cold, then you're chayev. But if it's not yet sunny, sof chama lavo, sof tina lavo, pater. That's called grumma. You're causing it. The word gorem is to cause, right? Similarly, let's say there's a fire and you want to put out the fire. Can you put out the fire on Shabbos? No. Can you put a bucket of water near the fire so that the fire will eventually hit that bucket and the water will then splash and put out the fire? So the Rabbanan say yes. Bekoach, the Gemara, Shabbos, Kuf Chaf, Amid Beis, the Rabbanan say that it's okay. This Klecheres, Chadashim, Melei Amayim, etc. So they're making. And the Gemara Sanhedrin, the same daf, just an Amid later, Rav Papa says, if you tie up a guy and there's going to be water, that, again, is going to kill him. So, Bekoach Risho, and Yochai, Bekoach Sheni, Grumma, Ba'alma, Hu. Essentially, if it's you doing the thing, you're chayev. If it's you a step removed from the thing, you're patur. So is grumma mutter or not? The Shulchan Aruch brings down this case of the fire. And the question is, can you, again, indirectly put out the fire through grumma? I'm not going to put out the fire by dumping water onto the flame. I'm going to put water into a vessel so that when the fire catches the vessel, the water in the vessel will put out the fire. Shulchan Aruch says, mutter. Degram kibui mutter. If the Shulchan Aruch stopped there, he would have just paskined that grama potentially is mutter. Potentially, he could have said that. And the men are showing him, behold, grama is just mutter. And that would mean that this chazan ish by the cows would be mutter because of the woman who's just not actually pumping milk, but just putting everything into motion. She's not doing anything. She just set up the timer. And the timer's not even on yet. That's called grama. Maybe even less than grama. But the Chazon Ish calls it grama. He says it's a mutter grama. And that's why he said it's okay by the cows. He said it's okay by the cows. But the Rama adds two words. Bemakom pseida. You're only allowed to rely on grama if there is a hefsid. So in the case of the milking of the cows, if you lose all that milk, Israel's going to lose money. Mutter. Done. What about throwing out natural breast milk? Would you call that a pseida or not? Oh, so this is where the formula shortage comes into play. What did you mean by that, Avi?
Normally, it wouldn't be a pseida.
Right. So normally, you can argue, listen, 6 days a week, you try as hard to save as much as you can. One day, you throw out the milk. You can argue either way. It's not really a pseida. Because, you have formula for one day, whatever. It's one day. Even a three-day yantif, use formula for 3 days. You can almost hear it. You can hear it. You could also hear the other side. Rabbi, there's a formula shortage. Or Rabbi, do you know how expensive formula is? Or Rabbi, do you know maybe how precious the breast milk is and I can't bring myself to throw it out? Is that pseida? Okay, so this...
That's not pseida.
That's not pseida.
That's like an istinus.
Okay, but there are many istinuses out there. I'll just say it like that. So listen, we got to really conclude bottom line halacha. So Rav Shechter did not budge. And I expected him not to budge. And my beloved colleague, Rabbi Chaim Jachter Shlita, Harav HaGaon of Jachter, said, I bet you Rav Shechter is not going to budge. Why? Because Rav Soloveitchik had a whole different approach to grammar. He said, what do you mean? If you do X that leads to Y, you did X and Y. You didn't do X which leads to Y. You did X, Y. Which basically means the Rav felt that you violated the same Issa Midaraisa as if there was no timer there. Because you did it. Meaning, in the same way that the sun that's already beating down on the person is considered your act of murder, so the timer's already in motion. Don't tell me, well, the timer didn't go off yet. Because why? The timer is already working. So Rav Soloveitchik would compare a timer that's about to go off to a case of someone being, a murder, where you tie up Reuven in the sun, where the sun's already beating down on the guy. And you're chayav for murder. But you know what? That is Rav Soloveitchik's approach to grum. Chazon Ish, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Avadya Yosef, all disagree and hold what we would have probably assumed that grama means what we would think of grama. When you're one step removed from the end result, that's called grama. And where we're at now is where? So it's grama. Rav Shechter would not agree with this. But if you don't hold a Rav Shechter, you hold of, let's say, more of a mainstream approach to grama with respect to Rav Shechter, you still need to get around our final burden, which is what? Is it b'makom hefsid? So what's the answer? It probably depends on the person. Last time someone dealt this question, they said, oh yeah, we'll throw out the milk. What's the big deal? And it was kind of like a textbook case out of these Sifrei Halacha. But today I dealt with someone with a milk allergy. And they can't find formula because of the shortage. They need a very specific formula. And you have to, so that's a sakana, it's a hefsid. So it's a case. That's right. But essentially, it's a case by case situation where you have to know: is it a hefsid? Is it an extreme financial burden on the family? And yes, if it's an extreme emotional, psychological burden on a family, perhaps you can argue there is room to be mekel in light of grama with a tzorach makom hefsid. but it needs to be analyzed case by case. Again, I met with many Rabbanim on this issue. There is a range where some are Mekel, some are Machmir, and everyone needs to really ask their local Orthodox rabbi.